Good morning, Ken. Wow, you're actually very good at that.
Really?
Well, because I used to be good at it, and then I heard it too many times, and now I can't get the tone right.
I don't think that your version of it has changed at all.
I know now. I don't even know where
you're
the
in your own
is.
Head. You're in your own head with the Gaga.
I know. Well, it's just like I don't even remember. It's like I don't know how.
I can't go past that point though. When I stopped because I don't know what she does next. Right. Because there's a change at that point.
Because she's very good.
And in fact, and actually, we do that from the trailer, but in the real song,
there's even
like,
more
in the beginning.
Yeah, there's
it's like
tons
she's
of
like oh, like she like kind of builds up to it. That was not what she does. She doesn't go wow, wow.
She actually, it's pretty weird. She picks up a cat, and she starts pumping its stomach, and it starts making some noises.
You don't get this part because you're on the street side of our building. I won't say where. Don't worry. I'm in the back side. I'm in the alley side. So I get like the mewling cats sometimes.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Actually, I hear them every once in a while when I'm in
And it's like, you're like, is that a computer? Or is that like, is that like Gizmo from...
It could be both.
Gremlins.
Oh, yeah. No, they're very, like, throaty cats.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, huh. Oh, not to compare Lady Gaga to that.
Yeah. No, we actually love Lady Gaga, and we think she has an amazing voice.
We were talking about my bad version of...
Exactly.
Yes,
the bad romance.
And we are, by the way, we're referring to Lady Gaga from the...
from, I'm going to call it the hit movie.
It's going to be a hit movie, right?
It's got hit written all over it.
Oh, my God.
By that, I mean, I've told a lot of people to watch it.
You read the trades. What are the projections? Do you know?
Can you read the trades?
Oh, that's right. I didn't this time, though. Sorry. Once again, no homework.
I believe that for a movie that has Oscar buzz, I think it's performing absurdly well.
Well, I think it's going to have Oscar buzz partly because it does extremely well. The Oscars do like a hit movie.
What won last year, Ken?
What did win last year?
The one with the fish boy.
Minor hit?
It's called Fish Sticks.
Minor hit. No, but they will get behind a hit film that's also critically acclaimed, which this seems to be. Do we say what we're talking about yet?
Sorry, we're talking about A Star Is Born. Hey, you guys, we're talking about the hit.
Speaking of...
movie, A Star Is Born, with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, directed Bradley Cooper's directorial debut. And... these Perry Gilpin fans are into it as well. We watched it.
Do you know when another star was born?
When?
May 27th, 1961. You know who that was?
Oh, it was Perry Gilpin.
Perry Gilpin!
yeah. Speaking of Perry Gilpin.
Speaking of Perry Gilpin.
4 degrees. 3 degrees. 2 degrees. Of Perry Gilpin.
Okay.
Okay, you guys. So
we went. Oh.
Well, first of all, I just want to say this as a precursor.
Yeah.
We're going to talk for a little bit right now with zero spoilers.
No cursing. All right. No pre-cursing. No cursing. Clean show today. With your foul mouth.
Okay, so we're going to talk now without spoilers, but we will issue a warning when we are about to start talking with spoilers, and we'll give you the time code for when you can skip it all.
Yeah.
If you were wondering, that does take some editing magic.
Yeah.
So get ready for it.
Hey, so you're welcome? Is that what you had like sort of that?
So,
sort of, and the people listening are like, we don't care.
Please text me, thank you.
We don't want to see how the sausage is made, is what they're saying.
Right, they're right. Do they want to see how the star is born?
No, I think they do.
I think they do too. Okay, so we went to a premiere night showing. Like, it wasn't even out yet.
It wasn't even a Thursday night, because a lot of premiere nights are Thursday nights. Mm-hmm. This was a Wednesday night.
Yeah. Here's.
I believe the earliest time showing,
in this time zone.
Yeah.
I agree. Well, I just know, I'm sure that. Also, I think Lady Gaga saw it earlier because we saw film footage.
She didn't. I made sure that we saw it before her, and I actually taunted her about it.
No, they had a before the movie. They're playing some like footage from the from the premiere night, and they're like, "It's a black carpet because this is really rock and roll."
I know.
You'll find when you watch it, it's not actually that rock and roll. I'd say it's way more country.
Yeah.
the fact that's actually one of my favorite things about TV and movies yeah. is they're always like, this is, they're like, it's really rock and roll. And you're like, every single time a movie tries to do rock and roll or a TV show, it's country. It's never not been.
It's kind of, yeah, or like,
it's
yeah,
like the hard oldest rock version or, of rock and roll.
Yeah. Where it's like, which is funny because I feel like
John and Ash.
If you like proclaim your love of rock and roll right now, I kind of feel it's a little embarrassing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love rock and roll. All right.
Yeah.
As the great Joan Jett said, she has her own movie out. A documentary.
Oh, really?
Joan Jett.
And does she say, I love rock and roll in it?
She probably does at some point. Or they play that song. I don't know. But she's great.
Yeah.
side note. No, but it just seems so outdated now to be like, oh, rock and roll.
Right. It like, just, what? You're like.
What are we living in? Like, no one says that anymore.
Right.
Kids are not listening to rock and roll anymore.
No. No one's listening to anything except for some wonderful R&B, hip-hop, pop.
R&B, hip-hop, pop.
But that's only if they have all three of them in it.
Yeah, it has to have all listening. Three. Yeah. But yeah, that was funny. And it was a little disappointing to not get any trailers before, but it was fun to see a glimpse into the...
I didn't realize we didn't see trailers before.
You didn't hear me murmur when they cut from the sort of behind the scenes or, you know, of the premiere night and are showing some of that footage. And then all of a sudden they just started playing the movie and I was like, oh, no trailers? You didn't hear me say, oh.
I didn't. Also, talk about how much I don't notice anything when I go to the theaters.
You notice some things.
I notice, like, what the person next to me is eating.
We notice the adorable old ladies behind us.
Oh, my God. So that's actually probably the best part of this movie. I mean, we loved this movie.
Yes.
But the best part was there was a an older lady who takes a call before the film. And she's like, okay, I'm checking in. I know we got... Are you coming to visit tomorrow or is it Thursday? Okay. Actually, technically tomorrow would have been Thursday because it was Wednesday. Yeah. Anyway, who knows?
I'm glad you pointed that out because our listeners would have picked up on that.
Anyway, it was really great. It made me think, wow, there are so many people who are interested in Star is Born. But that makes sense because she probably saw the Barbara Streisand one and was like, I'll give this a go. But I just like that people are going out on premiere night.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Did you know about the Barbara Streisand one?
Not with
Chris
enough.
Christopherson.
Not enough, which is crazy because my mom loves Kris Kristofferson.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's just interesting that I wouldn't have caught it.
I've been to the house you grew up in, your mom's current house.
Oh, yeah.
This Kristofferson stuff all over.
No, but
Some would call it a shrine.
No,
someone call it an obsession.
I bet there's some records in the record collection of Kris Kristofferson.
Yeah, he was a big deal.
Yeah.
For a while there.
Also, I was thinking, like, good job.
Now he's known, I think, for the last, like, two generations as, like, the guy from Blade. I think he's...
I just think of his music. I, like, didn't realize he acted.
But I think that...
That's my mom.
Yeah, that's your mom coming through, yeah. I don't know if people know his music. No, he wrote a lot of songs.
Yeah.
I think he wrote me and Bobby McGee. I might be just making that
up,
though.
That both
who can tell? Who can find
fake...
out if I made it up? Try me.
So, a quick... tutorial of the movie without spoilers. Do you
Can
want
I
a
say
tutorial?
One thing?
Yeah.
Well, I want a tutorial. I need a tutorial. I'm lost. But I wanted to say, I was looking forward to this movie because finally, as I said last time, it clicked when I saw the trailer and I was like, oh, this looks like inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like just a beautiful sort of just your dreams can come true sort of movie, right? And especially right now, you know?
You were looking for it.
I was looking for that.
You were like, hey, let me rest upon a star is born.
Because, yeah, right? Oh, that's nice. Because things are tough all
things
over.
Things are really feeling...
To quote Cheech and Chong.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. There's a lot of weight in this world, and it feels like it is bearing down on every single...
It's a lot. I'm not
like
gonna lie.
70% of the population.
Yeah, I'm looking for escapism right now.
Did you feel your escape?
I did in the first part of this movie.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're not even going into spoilers, except that I think people should know this isn't just a like feel good movie.
Right.
There's some real stuff going on, and they pull it off, and it's a very good movie. It's just
right. No. It's I've thought about how like, so I really like this movie, but I've been thinking about like, oh, I'm gonna be seeing other people this week, and I was like, oh, maybe I could go see A Star Is Born, but there was also a part of me that was like, you know. Like all Oscar movies, that's a one-time watch. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe just watch the beginning over and over
right,
again.
Right, because it's so it's kind of the story of Bradley Cooper is a rough and tumble rock star, in quotes. I'd call him more of a... Oh, what band would you say he's comparable to? You're not going to like what I'm going to say.
We know one of the songs was written by Jason Isbell. And I would say it's pretty close because it's very straightforward rock, countrified, with like sort of plain spoken lyrics. There's like there's a sort of a down homey everyman sort of lyrics.
I feel like you're going way more into, I was thinking about celebrity status.
Oh, I don't.
Because he's famous.
You go celebrity status, I go real deal. You know, that's our shtick.
This is how it works. No, because I was trying to think of who a...
No, who are you thinking? Sorry.
I'm going to get like so angry thing. Right now.
I'm ready to get angry.
Yeah. Oh, man. Five.
Oh, my. I need an explanation on
because
this.
Because I think that if... What's his face? Maroon 5
Adam
man?
Levine.
I think if Adam Levine went to a bar, people would recognize Adam Levine. I think if Jason Isbell went to a bar, no one would know who he was.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's a good point.
True, as far like, as celebrity status.
As far as how, yeah, I think actually, but I don't, I think this guy, although it's funny because the bar we see him go into wouldn't be where you'd think people would recognize him in this movie.
Right. But everyone.
So, but people still did.
Yeah.
So he has some crossover appeal.
Yeah.
So who would that be? Like as like a country or rock.
See, but that's why I thought of a.
But let's not go Adam Levine though, because he would be. Well, because, I think he's. No, but the thing with Adam Levine though is he's popular because he's on a TV show.
I know
it's
and,
not
and
his
that's
music.
Actually what I'm imagining.
I mean, his music's big too, but it's like.
What's the guy's name in the movie? Jason. No, sorry.
Jackson Maine. Which.
Perfect. Literally perfection in a name.
Which just sounds like a country. Like
right.
They're like, oh, it's rock and roll. And it's like your name's Jackson Maine.
If Jackson Maine.
By the way, it's Jackson, Mississippi. We all know that. Sorry.
I forget what I was going to say. Something about Jackson, Maine.
I'm trying to suss out who he actually would be comparable to.
Just got your Jackson, Mississippi joke.
Oh.
Like, I got it the first time, but I got the fact that he said Maine is also a state.
You said you got it as you're buttoning the top part. Is that how much you hated that joke? You're like, I'm buttoning the top part of my shirt to get away from this joke.
I'm like,
joke.
Oh, I'm trying to hide. Yeah.
I'm pulling my turtleneck up off my face. No, I'm kidding. This is the one circumstance where Kendra's not,
I'm not wearing a turtleneck. Fun fact.
It's a cool day, too. Yeah. No, but really, just a few more seconds on this, because we really...
Yeah,
we're really spinning our tires here. But who would it be? I don't know. Garth Brooks? Like, I know that's like a 25-year-old reference now.
Right,
but like,
no. Well, that's actually something that I think is interesting about the film, is that there are so many qualities that make it very old school.
Yeah.
And there, there's certain things that you can tell that this movie originally was living within a world that it was the 1970s.
It's weird because they're obviously updating that one more. And I remember seeing the 1970s one. I forgot a lot about it. But there were two more before that. I think in the 50s and then like the 30s.
Yeah.
I think we probably just throw those away as far as like, I mean, I can't imagine that this movie was harkening back to two movies made before rock and roll.
Right.
But I feel like they probably went to the 70s one, and I'm sure Kris Kristofferson was playing country rock guy, and Barbra Streisand was Barbra Streisand.
Right.
And like, it seems like that's the natural.
Yep.
We should probably watch that movie.
We should definitely watch it.
So it's funny. One of the thoughts I had was, you watch that trailer, right? And I think I mentioned this to someone after the movie. They asked me what I thought of it. And I said, you know what? A lot of the parts of the trailer look dumb to me. And especially initially. And I kind of overcame that.
Mm-hmm.
Basically with Gaga going, oh, and I was like, I'm in. All right, now I'm in. But some of the stuff that was really bad, and one of them was made into a very
great
prominently
meme.
Used meme, was, hey.
Hey. What?
What?
Just want to get another look at you. Oh, wait, sorry. just wanted to get
another look at you.
Oh, wow.
I'm Sam Elliott, and I'm Bradley Cooper doing Sam Elliott. And this is how I'm Jackson Maine. Hey.
Ken, you can do that voice. Let me do Lady Gaga.
I would, but maybe it's time to let the old ways die.
He's very good.
Maybe it's time to... No, okay. But when that part happened, right, people were like, what is with Bradley Cooper's face?
Right. And what's with this...
But no, so the initial point was, and I think we talked about this and we agreed, is that a lot of the parts of the trailer that looked dumb or sounded dumb or obvious, they are fleshed out in the movie. And sometimes they're made good and made whole and made, well. And then other parts, they're mitigating some of the disaster there. Because there's some...
Push and pull conflict.
They're trying to make a broad story here, but they're also... I think they're going for something very... what's the right word? Very real, and there's a layered movie, and it's very, and they're trying to show a lot of different reactions to, like, the people are in it are fleshed out. It's not
right,
just
right.
They might say something sort of in a broad way, but they're actually acting out in a very
real
human
to their character.
and you kind of see that unfold, and we will get to a lot of that because that's the spoiler time, but it's done in a very effective way that doesn't really come across to me in the trailer. But one of the other more specific points I'll shove up to this, sorry Kendra, is that his face in that scene is so sort of ruddy, and people are like, mm-hmm. what is going on with Bradley Cooper there, like, oh my god. But it actually is tied
exactly
very well
to who
the,
he is.
Yeah, he is an alcoholic in the movie,
mm-hmm.
and he would look like that.
Yeah.
He would be an attractive dude where every now and then you look at him in a certain light and be like, ooh, buddy, you need to maybe settle down a little bit.
Eat some celery or something.
But, so that's some of the things I had.
Yeah, I thought that it was, sorry, I think someone's lawn mowing outside. We live in Brooklyn. It doesn't make sense. Where would they, how would that work? It's going to get louder.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, I hired the gardener today, Kendra, to take care of our acres of lawn outside. So, bad timing. We should have worked this out a little better.
Yeah, we should have mapped it. Do you think it's ever going to end, or do you think this is...
It's never going to... This is the new reality. Let's just talk over it. It's fine. This is what we should do, all the spoilers, by the way.
We should just have a...
You can barely hear it.
So, yeah, no, I thought they did a really good job. I think that the thing... We've talked about this before on this podcast, just in general, is that I feel like sometimes things that are designed in a gendered, it's absurd, that are designed through a gendered lens and that we're looking critically through a gendered lens, people aren't taking those things seriously. And I think that that's why it was so shocking when critics came back and were like, this has Oscar potential.
Yeah.
And why I think we all looked at that trailer and thought, I guess it's going to be good. I think it'll be good. It's got all these things that I naturally think are good. But I still couldn't believe that it would come out to be a full, well-rounded movie.
Yeah.
And when I watched it, I was like, oh, this is a well-rounded movie.
Yeah.
That it really makes you think about not just the critical world's inherent bias,
mm-hmm.
but also our own. Because I was thinking it's going to be a piece of crap. Because it has enough in common with a Hallmark movie. Okay, you guys, don't worry. We told the lawnmowers to beat it.
Yeah. We said, hey, come back in 3 minutes. So.
So.
Was that, wait.
We're on
we
the
needed
time
more time, didn't we? All right. I'll go talk to
them. If you wanted to know, they were actually the leaf blowers, and there were zero leaves on the street. Our street actually has no trees on it, so the idea that you would even meet a leaf blower is the most beautiful, unnecessary poetry I've ever heard of.
Another hint to where we live: we are next to
a tree.
We are next to a neighborhood with lots of trees.
Yep.
We're adjacent to it. We're not in it.
We only have tiny baby trees.
One day you will find us, listeners. Keep listening. Only I will give you hints. Kendra's against it. She doesn't want to be found.
Who knows why?
Yeah. No, but you were saying You had a great point before the break. No, but it's important to bring up because I do find myself watching these movies through in a different way now, and it's definitely when you see the trailer, it seems like it's going to be a certain type of movie, mm-hmm. and you're like, ooh, okay. And you start hearing it's really good, and you're like, okay, well they must. Like, right. Do more
and
than
like,
that.
To me, that always means like, oh, Lady Gaga must have really brought it.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Like when they were like, it's really good. I mean, like Bradley Cooper directed it. And I was still like, I guess Lady Gaga really knows what she's doing.
Right. But you start watching the movie and I almost watch it with like folded arm, like crossed mm-hmm. arms. And I'm like, okay, what do you got? You know? And they start showing Bradley Cooper, you know, tail spinning and sort mm-hmm. of he's affecting, you know, everyone in his life, including Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
And
he also clearly loves her.
He clearly,
like,
they did
a beautiful love story.
Yeah. And, but you see, he's not like a badass rock and roll guy. He's a damaged man. And you see how that like just sort of damages everything mm-hmm. around him. And there's real consequences. And it was good to see that movie because part of me still wants to be like, I don't want to see that right now.
Right.
As we discussed.
Right.
But it's real.
Yeah.
And it's good to see how everyone plays off that because in a real way, because obviously there's things that are you kind of live with
mm-hmm.
when you shouldn't. And that's just reality.
Yep.
You know? Because especially if you care for somebody.
Right. Ugh. I think we're going to start leading into some spoilers. So, to avoid spoilers, go to 39 minutes.
Exactly?
Exactly. That's how good I am at mapping this shit out.
It's also a reminder of how long this episode is.
Too long! I think that...
Wait, are we spoiling now?
Yeah, we're now spoiling.
Oh, spoil time.
So one of the things is, so he, as we've mentioned, is an alcoholic, but the level that he is, like damaging himself and everyone around him, but then also how Lady Gaga is like, she plays it really perfectly with what it's like to love someone who has an addiction.
Yep.
And just like that you want to make it so that it's all okay, but it's never okay. And there's phases where it's fine. There's phases where it's not. I think she like really, you felt for her in such a way. And it felt really true to how we look at things now.
Mm.
Like, I mean, I haven't seen the original, but I do think that like there is a level of awareness that it had for like, this is how people interact with alcoholism. That was just like very cognizant of like, it's not all bad and it's not all, no, it's like, but a lot of it's bad.
Yeah.
But well, like just a really true and realistic.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought they did a good job showing her backstory, which only hints at her sort of having to take care of, like, men.
Yes.
You know, like, it seems like she and her dad have been alone for a while now. He has some buddies around, but
She's cleaning.
She's sort of, like, coming in and being like, oh, you've left this house a mess.
Right.
And her father's played by Andrew Dice Clay. And they have a few other guys around. I don't even know what they're into. They were looking at gambling. They didn't seem like destructive people. It just seemed like it wasn't what a normal father-daughter relationship
would
be.
Exactly.
It's probably just been the two of them for a while. She's been taking care of him. And I think, you know, she's been like kind of on her own for a little bit.
Right.
And she's also sadly, she's sadly kind of been taught, like a lot of people are, to just try to like avoid confrontation, mm-hmm. take care of things.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know, that sort of thing.
And so one of the things that we were kind of talking about is that, like, this movie kind of feels like it's not... It was definitely playing off the 70s one, but really with... Like, there were certain things where you were like, they did that because that's what it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
But, like, time-wise, that's not the moment that we're living in.
Yeah.
So one of the things that happens is that she wins a Grammy and he... It is like the most heart-wrenching scene. It's so uncomfortable, but also just like so devastating, like watching someone try and cover up someone being a mess. And
that,
I think,
is that when she says to him, "Are you okay?" Or is that
she? Yes. So he performs at the Grammys. He was originally supposed to be given a like front-ish spot, and then he like plays behind this guy
for a Roy Orbison tribute.
Yep.
Yeah, they brought
him. By the way. Oh, love Roy.
Yeah, and they brought in this guy, Marlon Williams, who's a real guy from, he's a real singer-songer.
He's a real man.
He's a real man. They didn't have a robot. Yeah, it wasn't CGI, good, Kendra. I know you thought so.
I know.
But this guy, he actually has a very good voice, and he's the person you would pick for Roy Orbison rather than like...
The man who like is definitely faking his voice.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
But he's passed over. Yeah. And I think in a great part of the movie, this is like tiny little moments where... I think Sam Elliott even says, like, it's not like we didn't do it to somebody else back in the day. Like, this, like, we were on the receiving end of this back in the day. And you're like, oh, like, it's a weird thing to bring up because it seems obvious, but that's not something you usually hear in a movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's like an extra little, like, yeah. Well, and like, I don't know, I like that.
Right. Like, not painting him as, like, a real victim.
Yeah. Right.
Because it's like, it's been a cycle of this
right.
since people, like, young people.
Yep.
Which has been forever.
Almost young people.
So anyway, he has a really tough performance.
Yeah.
And then he comes off the stage and goes and sit next to Lady Gaga. And she's like, are you okay? Are you okay? Because it's very clear that he like almost... like...
Yeah. He
almost passed out on that stage.
The beginning
stage.
Of the performance, like as the lights are coming on, he drops his pick. And when he goes to pick it up, he falls down to like one knee.
And she's like there being like, oh my God, oh my God.
Yep, yep.
It was
all of her fears were coming true.
Yep. And then that wasn't enough when she's performing or like when she, first of all, I really felt for that, are you okay? Are you okay? Yeah. Like that was such a telling thing. Yeah. And part of me thinks that what happened next was actually unnecessary. And maybe a little over the top.
I agree. Yeah.
Because so then she actually wins the Grammy for Best New Artist. She goes up to the stage. He's like, are we going? Where are we going? And he's like following her.
He tries to walk her up and he falls on the steps going up. So she just continues and he sort of sits there for a little bit.
Yeah. And then he comes up on stage and he's like talking with her while she's like making her like thank you speech. She was like, oh, we've had a little much, like we've been really celebrating, trying to cover up for it. And then he even like, he pisses his pants while he's there.
Yep.
And to me, that was the one part of the thing. I know they were trying to show us what rock bottom looks like, but I thought it might have been stronger.
Yeah.
Just showing her being like, are you okay? Are you okay? Him off to the side of the stage. I also felt like in this modern day, it is so unrealistic. That's, first of all, the Grammys just seem pretty low budget.
Yeah, it was like a low budget Grammys,
It was a very low budget Grammys, which is why I was like, this looks like what the Grammys were like in the 70s.
High budget film, they were like, well, we can't really like reenact the whole thing. So,
But then they also have her, it felt like it was a little too nail on the head.
Yeah.
And it also felt like there is no way her manager, who was probably sitting right next to her, wouldn't have been like,
it
wouldn't take him back.
I think, like, I also think a stronger shot, right, is just showing him laying on the steps.
Exactly.
Or like, or he's sitting on the steps slumped while she's doing that. And he already embarrassed her by doing that.
Right.
Like, that was already a horrible thing. And back to your point about, are you all right? Are you all right? It just shows that for someone like her, her initial reaction is to take care of people,
right,
which is very nice, but there's like, is that thing about with certain people where it's like my initial reaction is one of compassion and kindness, and then later on when I put this into context, this is unacceptable, like there's that sort of thing, which I mean, it was really heartbreaking to watch,
right?
Very, very well done in the movie, and they showed a cycle of that, as she was trying to like figure it out with him. And this was at the end of basically the cycle, because after this he checks into rehab and we get towards the sort of end of the movie. But
and they also, in while he's in rehab, they have him talk with a guy who's like kind of like, it seems like his therapist or like friend slash another person there. I couldn't actually tell who that person was.
Yeah, they didn't. I think he was a therapist. I think he was a lead.
So he then tells about a story of him at like 13 attempting suicide.
So he already told Lady Gaga that, or Allie, as we should say.
Yes.
Her name is Allie.
Or Ally.
Ally.
According to the billboard.
Yeah, her name is, she's Allie, but it's spelled A-L-L-Y. And the billboard is this big picture of her face and it says Allie over it, but it's basically saying Ally.
Yeah. And we also, I was just so surprised because we hadn't seen her name spelled out the whole time.
No.
And I was like, I was like, you know, she did get started in like a fun drag club, but I wouldn't say she's shown herself as a true Ally.
Yeah. Which, by the way, that was a great way to introduce her. Especially, yes. I mean, that was awesome.
Yeah, no,
that,
it was
so
really
the beginning
good.
Of this movie is, and I fun, like it fun, the whole fun. Thing, but it's just like so fun. Like everything about it, the way they meet, all that stuff, and you see some of the things that are going to become problems. But it's just like from that moment on to when he finally gets her on stage to sing the song that she sang a little bit for him in the parking lot of some you know.
Rite Aid
or whatever. And that's the part from the trailer that's like, oh,
yeah.
And it's just like such a big moment.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. I wanted to stand up and cheer in the movie theater.
And actually, that would be something that I just want to say is like a really positive about this movie. I thought they did a fantastic job with the dialogue, feeling really realistic and loving and sweet. Like there's even just little scenes, and what's really well done about it is they're not just happening at the beginning. There's scenes when he's still really messed up where they have these sweet moments that you can really understand. There also are some scenes where he does some stuff where I was like, oh, leave him, Lady Gaga.
I was going to say he's mean, and I was like, I don't mean that in a light way because mean sort of seems like flimsy.
Yeah.
Cruel is the right word.
Yeah.
There's a point where they're talking and he's just playing cruel. And he's like,
and he's just going for all of her weaknesses, and it's just so terrible.
Yeah, because he's just defensive, and he's just.
That's what I mean. Like, that's why I'm saying, like, watch the first half of this movie and have a great time.
Have a great time,
and then watch the second half of this movie when you're like, I'd like to just die inside.
So we, you brought up what he tells the therapist, and we already hear early on that he lost his mother. His mother died at birth. His father died when he was 13. Sort of raised by his older brother, who's played by Sam Elliott, who ends up being sort of his manager.
Yeah, and he's a much older brother.
Yeah, much older brother.
Everyone thinks it's
but
his dad.
Really tough life. And then we find out when he's talking to his therapist that actually, right, just shy of 13, he was so unhappy that he tried to take his own life in his living room where they had an overhead fan. And he basically, the fan just broke when he tried.
Yeah.
And he fell to the ground. And he said the fan stayed on the floor for like a half a year.
And his dad never noticed.
Which is like, oh, you just say that one line and you know how messed up that life was.
Yeah.
Like how that home wasn't really a home. Like, it was just broken. So, but you had brought this up after. You were like, so they were obviously... hinting at what might come, and we confirmed after, but I don't know if you had known before, but you just brought up how they were definitely hinting at that, at the motorbike, right? For the end, because in the 1970s version, Chris Christopherson,
it's not necessarily, he drives it in a car accident.
Oh, it's not the bike?
No, but I think they're using that as a red herring.
Oh, right,
because she says at one point, she's like, I don't want, or like, I'm never getting on that bike when you're messed up.
Yeah, right.
And then so you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah. So later on, after he goes to rehab and he comes back and he's rehabilitating, she wants him to come to her concert and come out and perform a song. And he's like, oh, I'll meet you there, right? So then he's
everyone's always meeting people places.
Yeah. Don't meet.
Meet people places because you gotta, if someone says, oh, we're going to the same event, go in the same car. All I can say.
If this show does nothing, it provides you with Kendra Gaylord maxims. All right? One of them is you do not leave a Henry Cavill on the table. And another one is you don't meet people places.
You don't meet people
just
places.
Just go together.
Yeah. That's what we learned.
So, but he had just had a talk with her manager who's basically saying, you know you're going to mess up her life. And you know you're not going to be good enough for her. And it's not going to end well. Like, you know that. So, you know. And it's really...
That manager is like... Not like you know, there's some pep talks that might be helpful.
Yeah, this is
The after rehab pep talk that this man gave him.
Yeah.
was the most fucked up thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what, as you were saying, so he ends up killing himself.
Yeah.
He's going, heading there. He's looking at the garage. He looks at the bike.
Yep.
So you're like, oh, he's going to get on the bike and he's
going to...
After taking some pills. Yeah. After this guy really like tore him apart.
Yeah.
And he takes the pills and you're like, oh shit, he's going to get on that bike and kill himself because of that last thing. But what I think was really interesting about this, so he ends up hanging himself in the garage. So sorry to even mention this. Yeah, it's very sad. And it's really sad in the movie. And I think what was really interesting to me was that in the 70s version, they have him die in a car accident, yeah, even though he's so self-destructive. But what I think is clear about the changes,
yeah,
between now and then is like, you can show someone self-destructive and be like, and then they killed themselves. You know what I mean? Mm. Instead of being like, oh, they like got into a car accident that might have been self-destructive. Like, there's a much more honest look.
Yeah, it's like almost romantic for the rock and roll guy to go out in like a car accident.
Right.
When that's really suicide too. I mean,
right,
if you're doing drugs and then going right, in a car, you're making choices, yeah, that are
very dangerous.
Very dangerous. So this was, I mean,
it was really notable.
Yeah.
That, like, I could tell that was, like, a decision that they made. And I think that it was one. I also want to say that something that does concern me about this movie, just in general, is, yeah, like, I really do think it's being sold as a romantic, yeah, thing. And I think about a lot of people going into this. I wasn't expecting, yeah, to have the alcoholism be so strong. Yeah. Not that, like... I thought it was going to be light.
Strong alcohols. Yep.
But I wasn't expecting all of those things, which did make it really hard when, yeah, you're watching it. Like, if you come in there thinking of, like, I'm going to see Lady Gaga, yeah, it's going to be a fun time. It's like, it's actually a very heavy movie.
Yeah.
And I do kind of think that, like, you know, I don't necessarily think everything needs a trigger warning. But I did think that if you were just a regular person coming into this movie with any baggage,
yeah,
you... Or just life,
yeah,
you could be like, holy crap, I didn't sign up,
yeah,
for a movie that ends in suicide. So, like, it just, I it's great because it's a beautiful movie and I think, yeah, that it does a great job with it. But it does really make you think, like, there are some people who are going to go to this who aren't ready
this. I saw it on Twitter. I did a search just to see what people were saying. And, mm-hmm, there were people being like, whoa, no one told me about this.
I was signing up for this. And it's just, it is, that's what movies are. Yeah. But I also think that sometimes if you're, who knows the place that people, yeah, are going saying, I'm going to go watch this nice, lovely movie.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, it's not like the Titanic where, no one went to the Titanic it's going to end well.
I had no idea.
I still haven't seen it. But...
So, oh, that's right.
but guess what? I don't have to see it to know what the ending's probably going to be.
You never got the two VCRs to see it because it's a two VHS tape. Yeah. Exactly. One day we'll get that for you. Christmas is coming up, Kendra. I think you might find something under your tree.
You got two VHSs with your name on it.
Two huge boxes filled with out-of-date technology for you, sister. Okay. No, yeah, and I do think that the scene that I really think really worked really well was the scene before that where he just talked to the manager and he was kind of going through and realizing that he couldn't, he was having a destructive effect on her life. I swear I'm not crying, I'm just... and he knew like this was a goodbye. And at the time of the movie, I didn't know what that goodbye meant. I thought he was just going to maybe leave. I didn't know.
Yeah.
And so you could see in his face, he's just like, all right, you know, and she's like, okay. And he just, it's,
oh,
very...
and there's like a, like, oh, hey, just wanted to have another look at you a, yeah, second time. And you're, oh, like,
yeah.
Oh.
Also, that meme where she, the second look she gives where she's like, ah, when he, yeah, says that, that's like a real look.
Oh, it's
like,
a people totally making fun real of that, look.
But it's like, it's actually like good acting.
No, oh, it's the,
it's
most,
like weird.
Everything
it's not even
she
just
does
like,
is the most realistic,
yeah,
version,
really,
of
good,
how a human acts.
Yeah.
I know.
It's like a goofy way of reacting to, like, that, but it seems real. You,
yeah,
know?
Oh, that's exactly how I would react to that.
All right, we need to wrap this up.
Yeah, so if you guys were wondering what the connection to Perry Gilpin is,
we were.
We have literally 1 degree of Perry Gilpin in this movie.
Wait, what? One? I thought it was two.
No, it's one.
What is it?
It is.
Perry Gilpin is in this movie. She is the star.
It is Michael D. Roberts. He plays Lady Gaga's dad's friends.
Yeah, I think he's one
so
of
them.
So
there's like, he has three friends who are like also like limo drivers. It seems like he runs a car rental thing.
Yep.
So there's like a bunch of fancy cars on the street. Mm-hmm. And so he's one of them. And he's, we thought he was great. And Perry Gilpin was in... Oh, no. What was his name? Michael.
Oh, my God.
Roberts, right?
Let me vamp while you're doing this.
Oh, yeah. He was in... I forgot. How could I forget this?
Yeah.
He was in Make It or Break It with Perry Gilpin, which I've spoken about...
Yes, you have.
...deeply. And, I think he was... He was in a bunch of episodes of it.
He's one of those that...
He was also in an episode called Sunday Bloody Sasha Sunday, which, jeez, I believe something bad happened.
He's one of those guys. He's a that guy. When I saw him in this movie, I was like, oh yeah. Like, actually, that whole crew of the dad's friends were all sort of like, oh, yeah, these are guys. Yeah.
Cool.
All right.
So thanks so much for listening. Yeah. Sorry for the deep talk. We really appreciate it. You listening. Follow us on Instagram, Degrees of Perry. Follow us on Twitter, Degrees of Perry. Follow us to our houses.
Kendra, that's you don't want that.
Oh, right. Sorry.
I would say follow the Baking Poppy. We haven't said that in a while. And also, our friend. Let me Google that.
Check it out. The podcast that we like totally love. It's a quick 5 minutes every day that tells you some weird fact, and she Googles it for you, which is just really fun. I've also just learned things that I didn't expect, which has been really enjoyable. And you can follow her on Twitter too.
Abby Norman.
Yeah.
Okay. Shout out to her. All right.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, Kendra. Oh, and bye. Everyone.